What defines you? What brings you to your identity? I present the three different ways that we identify or come to our identity as human beings in sometimes the things that we consume. The clothes we wear, the places we live, the schools we attend, the company we keep, also sometimes what we buy. And it's not so much what we consume that identifies as what we do with them. If you've ever had this experience, and I'm sure you have, if you ever bought anything at Macy's or Kohl's or any shopping center, maybe something online, don't be surprised if you're bombarded by tons of emails to buy more things. I know that sometimes when I buy something, even if it's something that I bought months ago, I get emails from that company, whether it be Kohl's or Macy's, that invites me to purchase things that they know what's best for me. You like this, you're gonna love this. So shop now and save. The things we consume can sometimes identify us, but again, it's what we do with these things that can make a difference. Because these things that we consume and partially identify us are passing away and will pass away. Another thing that identifies us is the work that we do. In my work as a clinical case manager in an outpatient clinic, and all the relationships that I have with people that I've come to know through the years, I know will pass. If anyone has ever experienced being laid off or retired or leaving a job position, that identifies us of who we are for a long time. And when that is gone, sometimes we feel lost, don't know what to do. That part of our identity passes away as well. Another way that defines us, or another means that defines us in our identity, is in the relationships that we keep and how we are identified as a person. Growing up, I knew my identity as a grandson, a nephew, a cousin, a brother, and a son. And it is this role and identity of son, and particularly in my relationship with my mother, that I held on for many years, even after her death. I remember her visiting me in Oakland before she died. She came to visit me in my first apartment on Gilbert Street, and she had a chance to meet Michael before she left and before she died. And I remember after her death coming back home and finding underneath my side of the bed her soft pink slippers. They were so cute, and actually they were a little small, but I tried to fit my feet into them. Just to feel that slipper that she wore, and know that she wore it, and how I cherished those slippers for many years, in fact, up to 15 years after her death. And it was only upon the visit of my sister Claire last year that I was able to give it up. Something that I held on to, something that I held up as something afraid to let go, someone who had passed on, that in passing these on to someone else who would find importance in it, in this case my sister, that it was something that was going to pass away. But what was going to remain was that memory, that loving relationship of my mother that stays with me still and has evolved in my identity as a person. Now, not just as son, but as uncle, as great uncle, as brother-in-law, as son-in-law, and now as husband with Michael. It's not just our wealth of who we are and what we do and what we have and the relationships we keep. All those are parts of who we are and very strongly identified within our being. But it is not the entirety of who we are, because all these things will come to pass. We will die and we will leave this earth. But what we do with the wealth that we have is what matters. What wealth we have that identifies us and defines us, what we do with that wealth matters. And in today's gospel, we see what matters in the sense of this parable of the deceitful and shrewd and cunning manager. We as children of the light are called to be like the children of this world. What is so great about this manager isn't his deceitfulness, isn't what he was. In his capacity as a manager, but what he did with it. He knew that his capacity as manager was passing away. And what is commended about him is his cunning, his skill, his quick movement in a time of crisis, because he was indeed in a crisis. He was going to lose his identity of being a manager. But what does he do? He goes to those who are indebted to his master, and he doesn't ask for 100%. But as much as they could give to his master, so that in the end, while his master receives these things, now these who have paid debts to his master are now indebted to him. Very cunning, very sly, in that he is able to build something for himself in seeing that something is passing away. We cannot serve both God and wealth. But what we can do is that wealth that we have in our lives, that which defines us in our relationships, in the things that we do, in the things we hope for and build, in community and service, these things that are wealth and that define us as Christians, as children of the light, is to bring us closer to that relationship which is eternal. So while we may not be able to serve God and wealth, we're called to use our wealth and our wealthy relationships and being to serve and to build up what is eternal. Eternal life with God and the promise of eternal life. Amen.